Have you ever had times when you questioned your faith? When you wondered just how strong your faith was? Have you ever had times when you wondered even how much faith you actually have? If you're like me, of course you have. I think those are common questions and experiences that we have at different times in our life, maybe even commonly. Certainly in times of suffering, sorrow, times of challenge, our faith can feel that maybe it's not quite as strong as we would like. Perhaps it's not abundant enough. Perhaps you, like I, have had times to cry out, "Lord, give me more faith." Faith can indeed seem finite, limited, sometimes in short supply. It can almost seem that we have a reservoir that holds our faith, and there are times of plenty when it is full and times of drought when it is not so much. Faith can also seem like a feeling. We can assess what we're feeling and how much of it we have. We can try to take measure of our faith. I think the apostles in today's gospel are going through some of that. They're checking the level of their faith, and they're fearing that that level is low. For the gospel opens with them saying, "Increase our faith." They're asking for more. I don't find this surprising. When we look at what is happening in the gospel, where they have traveled with Jesus and where they are heading, this is part of that long journey to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem where they know that Jesus will suffer and be killed. And they are not looking forward to that, to state the obvious. And along the way, Jesus has been teaching them. In Luke's gospel, it takes a long time for him to get to Jerusalem. And he's teaching them and preparing them. But that preparation includes really hard sayings. They are, in fact, the sayings that we have heard throughout the summer right up to this morning. Let me remind you of what we have heard in the past several weeks. "Sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. Love no one more than Jesus, not even your own family. Take up your cross and follow, giving up your life. Care for the poor, and don't ignore the poor who are right in front of you at your gate, the ones you might find to be invisible." And then two we haven't heard on Sundays, but come right before today's gospel. The first is, "Don't through your actions or words lead anyone astray." If you lead someone astray, it actually would be better if a millstone was put around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Don't do it. And the last is, "Forgive everyone." 70 times 7, meaning as often as it takes, no matter what others have done, how they might have offended. Hard sayings. So it's no wonder after this teaching, the disciples are wondering, how in the world can we do this? It's not surprising they fear their faith is not strong enough. When they ask Jesus for faith, he offers words which at first glance, at least to me, don't sound very comforting. "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, when I first read that, I thought, well, that sounds like if my faith were as large as the smallest, tiniest seed, then I could be uprooting trees, doing amazing acts. So my faith must be invisible. It must be minuscule if I can't do that. These don't sound like comforting words of Jesus. But I also think it can be easy for us to read into Scripture judgment. We can hear how we fall short and we can judge ourselves based on any number of verses. I think there's something very different going on in this passage. Rather than condemning, rather than saying we fall short, Jesus is actually offering words of comfort to his disciples, though we may not first hear it. He is actually saying, I think, relax. You have enough. Faith the size even of a small, seemingly insignificant seed is enough. Jesus is offering important teaching to his disciples in saying that, and also offering important teaching to us. And the first is that faith is not a commodity. It's not something we can store up until there is enough. We can't put it in a tank and attach a gauge and read its level. Faith is also not about thinking certain things or believing certain things, even about God. Faith is instead a way of life. Faith is living in this moment for Jesus. Faith means accepting the call to walk with Jesus hour by hour, action by action. The Society of St. John the Evangelist, an Episcopal community of monks in Cambridge, Massachusetts, offers daily meditations. They come to your inbox, you can see them on Facebook. The meditation for this past Saturday, just yesterday, was called Faith, and it said this: Faith is not believing that certain claims or statements about God are true. Genuine faith presumes a relationship with God. It implies a radical trust in God. Faithfulness in one's relationship with God, and a way of seeing the world as life-giving and nourishing, rather than as hostile and threatening. And so faith is a way of life. It's how we embrace the moment, how we see the world, how we live. And this faith is not our possession to put in a tank somewhere and store up. It is a gift from God. It is accepting the call to follow Jesus. It is to trust in God. And it is nothing less, ultimately, than the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not mine. It is the Holy Spirit indwelling in me, indwelling in you, the Spirit that calls us, the Spirit that empowers us, the Spirit that sustains us. These very same disciples who in today's gospel ask for more faith, who fear they're coming up short, after the day of Pentecost, they have no shortage. They are filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they do the very acts of Jesus in the world. They live the very life of Jesus. And they even, in living that life, come to the same end as Jesus, giving their lives as a witness, being martyrs for the faith. And so it is that faith is a gift from God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it moves us beyond our doubts, our weaknesses, moves us beyond our fear and our anxiety. And faith begins where we are. I think sometimes we can think that faith is this kind of mysterious thing, and I need to figure it out, and I need to wait until the right moment, and I need to do certain things. And those fears can hold us back, can prevent us from acting. But the reality is that we have what we need. Barbara Brown Taylor is an Episcopal priest, a professor, and an author. And a few years ago, she wrote a book called An Altar in the World, A Geography of Faith. And she writes, she says, to help ordinary people see God at work in everyday life, in the world around them, in the ordinary tasks of life. Things such as waking up, doing dishes, feeding animals, cooking, walking. Seeing God active in encounters with other people. Seeing God active in one's work and vocation. Seeing God even in pain and challenge. And seeing God at work when we receive blessings. And it's not magical, it's not mysterious, it's not elusive. She asserts it all begins with this moment. It begins where we are and who we are. Even though it can feel elusive, it can feel hidden, it can feel like this secret treasure we can't find, she says it's actually closer than we think. Here's what she says. People seem willing to look all over for this treasure. They will spend hours launching prayers into the heavens. The last place most people look is right under their feet, in everyday activities, accidents, and encounters of their lives. What possible spiritual significance could a trip to the grocery store have? How could something as common as a toothache be a door to greater life? No one longs for what he or she already has, and yet the accumulated insight of those wise about the spiritual life suggests that the reason so many of us cannot see the red X that marks the spot is because we are standing on it. The treasure we seek requires no lengthy expedition, no expensive equipment, no superior attitude or special company. All we lack is the willingness to imagine we already have everything we need. The only thing missing is our consent to be where we are. We already have everything we need. We are called by Jesus to lives of faith, where we are, who we are, as we are. We're called to live trusting in God's power that sustains us for this journey. We're called to love as God in Christ has loved us, to return that love. We're called to shower mercy and forgiveness on all as God does. And we're called to generously give of our life as Jesus gives of his own life for our redemption. Now, the gospel today doesn't end there. It goes on to conclude with a portion about a slave. And this is not an easy portion, I think, particularly in our time. It can be very hard to hear this. So let me help to try to unpack some of what may be happening there. And the first thing is to say that the Greek is not clear. In Greek, the word used is doulos, which means both servant and slave. Different translations use different ways of interpreting that word. So even the word itself is not entirely clear. The other is that slavery in the first century world in which Jesus taught was a given. And so he's not talking about slavery itself. He isn't critiquing it, but he also isn't supporting it. He's instead asking us to look what's behind what he's saying, to look behind the example that he lifts up. He wants us to look at the nature of the relationships. And what he's offering is the slave or the servant does what is asked, faithfully, and is not owed any thanks in return. The master doesn't have to say, well done, come sit with me, I'll cook for you now. Jesus is highlighting that what is implicit in that relationship is dutiful service and willing obedience. And Jesus says this as the one who comes not to be served, but to serve. He is the one who lives this out in every aspect of his earthly life and ministry. He is the one who washes the feet of his disciples the night before he dies. He is the one that goes to the cross in love. And so he is talking about that call for us to do the same, to be obedient and faithful in what we have been called to do. And that call is to trust Jesus, to trust that we have enough, to trust that the Holy Spirit gives us all we need to answer the call that is ours. And then to set out, to not be afraid, but to start that journey even in this moment, wherever we find ourselves. Not assuming it takes something I don't know or some mysterious thing I'm going to wait to find out. Just do it. And unlike the master in the parable, who owes the servant or the slave nothing, God owes us nothing but gives us everything, including that promise of life abundant if we set out on this journey. This is the God who loves us and forgives us, the God made known in Jesus who gives his own life as a servant. And this is the God who offers us this journey which leads no other place than abundant life to deep relationship with God. And we don't walk alone. We walk in community. We have this faith handed to us from ages past, from generations before us. We hear that in our epistle today from the letter of Paul to Timothy. Although Paul probably didn't write it, but that's another story. But we have it in that letter, where we hear Paul talking about the faith that is in him that has been handed on to Timothy. We hear about the faith that is in the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. We hear about Eunice and Lois. We have that faith that has been handed to us through the ages. And even now in the present, we don't travel alone. We walk by faith together in this community. We do this with one another, supporting one another as we walk in faith. And so let us trust in God. Let us dare to set out to live this life of faith, starting from this moment, wherever it takes us. And may we love and serve as Jesus does, that our lives might be a witness this day and always to this world. And above all, may we relax and live, trusting that Jesus has given us all the faith we need for the journey, even the faith we have in this moment. Amen.